Okay, we're here. And we're ready to get started on our Tuesday night celebration of life. What a great thing to be able to get together like this on Tuesday nights and just go through these principles, make sure they're clear in our minds and that we can apply them in our lives. We're on quality number two, mental creation, tonight. This is a very special part in your assessment. Before we get started, are there any questions or comments that anyone would like to share before we jump into mental creation this evening?
Dave, this is Betty.
Hi, Betty.
Hi there. You know, it's been a year now since had the privilege of getting to be part of your group. And, you know, I can really see that things are turning and changing. It's pretty incredible the way things are beginning to turn now. And I know the difference is in me. So I just thought you should know that.
Well, you're going to make me cry before we get started. Thank you so much for sharing. And you know, we do this for a lengthy period of time because it takes a while for some of these thought processes to shift. Mm-hmm. And we're going to deal with some very precious thought processes tonight. These are the foundational thoughts to our entire life. This is what governs how we feel about our life, about how it's turning out, whether finding any joy in it. All of self-esteem issues, most of them begin right here in this section, mental creation. If you have your assessment up, you might want to pull it up on your computer. It's on the bottom right-hand side of your assessment report. Mental creation. I want to spend just a little bit of time on these measurements. And if we can participate tonight and ask questions and be a part of this, let's make this your coaching session. This is yours tonight. And treat it like it's your very own. We'll go through each one of these measurements. And I want you to think about your assessment. Let's make sure that these things are clear for each one of us. Mental creation. These thought processes are about things that exist only in our mind. Now, we want to create them in tangible reality, but they haven't been. They're just in our mind. Ideas, goals, dreams, aspirations. That's what's happening in this section of our assessment. They're called systemic thoughts. Systemic thoughts process very differently than other thoughts. They process what is called dualistically. All that means is it's either or. It's like a computer program. It's a one or it's a zero. It's like polar opposites. It's right or it's wrong. It's life or it's death. It's all or it's nothing. It's a very special way of processing, and it's only true in a systemic thought. So we have these six systemic thoughts, and the first one is called self-direction. Self-direction. The question is, at an intrinsic level, a deep personal level, how do we feel about what we do in our life? Are we motivated by a burning desire to do something because we want to? And we get to and we choose to. We've gone as far as to say acting on our own moral authority. That's a powerful statement. Acting on our own moral authority, which means we're choosing this. Is our life directed by us making the choices? Or do we feel like life is just pushing us around? Because it's pushing us around and we have to, and we should, and we must. And even fear of consequences if we don't do it. If I don't get up in the morning, well, we could say, okay, then don't get up. Okay, then don't go to work. And then you say, well, I got to do that. I've got a family to raise. I've got bills I need to pay. That's true. Shifting our thought processes from have to and should and must to want to and get to and choose to. Now, some of you, it's only a few, this thought process is more about perfection. We need to have life be perfect. One of the challenges with that is that it's not. It just isn't. And so we spend a lot of energy trying to mask the truth of it for fear if someone saw the truth of it, they might not like us, for an example. So we got this fear of failure, or we got this fear of consequences, two polar opposites. The middle is this want to, get to, and choose to. No matter what your measurement is, it doesn't hurt to do this exercise. Now, some of you have done this. It might have been a while since you did, but I'm going to ask you tonight to actually do this. Take a piece of paper and cut it into 3x5 cards, or if you have some like index cards, you could use those as well. And have some fun with this. I remember talking to an extremely successful CEO, monstrous income. And when I shared this with him, yeah, I thought he was going to fire me. I said, I want you to write on this card, I, in quotation marks, I want to, quotation marks, I get to, quotation marks, choose to, I choose to, want to, get to, choose to. And the I has a real purpose. This is you in the observer's chair. This is you in charge of your life. My unhealthy habit of thinking may not want to, but I want to. I want to. I get to. I choose to. And I like to put, I will command me, and I will obey my own command. That's a curious comment that Og wrote in scroll number 9, I will act now. I will command and I will obey my own command. Really? Because how many times you say, I'm not going to have a donut tonight? do we obey our own command and not have the donut? Or do we let our habits of thinking talk us out of our determination? I want to, I get to, I choose to not have a donut tonight. Are we going to follow our own command? I want to, I get to, I choose to get up at 5:30 in the morning and go for a walk. Two mornings running. Isn't that exciting? Yeah, do we actually get up and do it? Or at 5:30, do we talk ourselves out of it? Or do we remember what it feels like when we're finishing that walk or that run at 6 or 6:15? And the joy and the smell of the morning air. And do we remember that and pop up and go do it anyway? I want to, I get to, I choose to. Have some fun with this. If you'll make a card and put it by your nightstand, and you only need to do one. If you put it in your mirror in the bathroom, that's great. One client, I saw it on the back of their front door, walking out of the house. Put it in your car, you put it on your desk, wherever your workspace is, on your computer. But by your nightstand, and do this tonight. Just take a few moments. Humor yourself just a little bit, because any resistance you might be feeling to this, as my client was feeling, was this unhealthy habit of thinking, going, this is stupid. Come on, I'm a mature adult. I don't need something silly like this. When I say, if we don't need something silly like this, then why don't we just do it? The resistance is in this measurement. So we pick it up in the morning and we look at it. Imagine it's 5:30 in the morning. We've committed to get up and run. We might need to turn a light on at that time in the morning. And we look at it, I want to, I get to, I choose to, I will command, obey my own command. You can almost feel the energy. Just feel that. Get in touch with that, because that is the thought process. That is the energy this thought process, when it's out of balance, brings into your life, and it is so destructive. It's causing you to be subject to it. We are surrendering our free will to it. As Og said, the past deeds of my life have already threatened to mark out a path, or mark out a path that threatens to imprison my future. Well, that path is this thought process. One of them, but this thought process. I want to, I get to, I choose to. I would read it until you can feel it. I want to. You know, dang it, I do want to. I want to get in shape. I want to lose some weight. I want to feel healthy. I want to eat right. I want to. I really do. And hear that voice and own it. I will command. command, and I'll obey my own command. Have some fun with that exercise tonight and in tomorrow morning, and just see how often we allow, I know I do, that unhealthy habit of thinking over there in that other chair talk us out of staying here in the observer's chair. So, self-directed. Second measurement we've called honorable. We're developing a new assessment for athletics that we're using with college football teams. Lee Steinberg and I are taking that out to the world. It's very exciting. Take on the world. Got a couple pro teams, and it's just so fun to teach these principles to athletes, I should say. We're changing the name of this one, and it might help you to hear the new name. The name of this measurement we're giving a new name, the new name is contributor. Contributor. See, this measurement's asking the question, in our mind, in our thought process, do we have a healthy understanding of what we can contribute with our talents and our gifts? How clear are we? If this starts to turn orange, most of the time it goes what we call over-focused. We start to go into perfection, and we start to require of ourselves something that is impossible to do. We call it the unrelenting. You might write these words down. You've heard them before, I think. Unrelenting, unyielding pursuit of the unachievable. Just think about that. We are trying so hard to do something that cannot be done. Perfection. If you're in that space, we know that, one, we can drive ourselves crazy no matter what we do. It's never going to be good enough. And you've heard me tell this story before, but I want to share it with you. I just want you to think. You know, there's millions of people that have been on this, billions of people have been on this earth. And you become the first perfect person ever. You actually make it. You do it. And the world gathers to celebrate your perfection. And this thought process shows up and says, what's the big deal? Come on, what's going on? Well, Sally was perfect. Well, of course she was. That's what I expected. You know, if we actually got to the place we could never be as mortals in this life, we wouldn't even be able to celebrate it because it was just expected. If your measurement's orange in this particular area, I want you to think about life slightly differently. If we're thinking perfection, we'll either drive ourselves crazy trying to get there, or we will start procrastinating because there's no way in the world we can actually get there, so why do it in the first place? Write down this phrase. I still remember sitting in a training with Mark LeBlanc, San Diego, California. Great guy. Former president of the National Speakers Association. And we were talking about perfectionism, and he said, my motto is better done than perfect. Better done than perfect. Because he was trying to say that it's better to get it done than to be focused on perfection and not do it at all. Better done than perfect. And he went on to say, it's interesting, if we adopt that motto, better done than perfect, we actually will jump in to do it. We will do a great job just because of who we are. So better done than perfect. Another word I want you to think about is excellence. Excellence. We do it with excellence. We bring our gifts, our talents, and we do it with excellence. So start thinking in terms of, I want to live with excellence. Better done than perfect. Anybody has a question, just interrupt me. Just say, Dave, and we'll stop because I want to make sure these measurements are sinking deep for you tonight so they make sense. This third measurement is probably one of the most significant measurements in the assessment. It's entitled goal-oriented. It actually has the least amount of mathematical value, but has by far the most negative impact on people's lives. Goal-oriented. The measurement mathematically simply asking, how much time do we spend thinking about thinking? When we're internal and we're thinking about ourselves, our own life, our goals, our aspirations, how we'd like our relationships to be, when we're in that thinking about thinking internally, it's generally very vivid thinking. this measurement turns orange and then turns red, it's just telling me that that vivid thinking is extremely powerful. It's not just thinking and about thinking. We start thinking more and more vividly, more and more.
Dave?
Yes.
Dave, this is Betty.
Hi, Betty.
On that one, goal-oriented, mine is just as red can be.
Oh, good. Well, let's spend some time, Betty, on the red, because it's red. I know that you're in the network marketing business profession, and I know that it's red or orange 97% of the time. Isn't that interesting? That profession attracts people who have got very vivid visualization. You can dream. You can think about. So if anybody else has got that measurement, orange or red, I just want you to ask yourself a few questions. Because vivid visualization, Betty, do you view yourself as a vivid visualizer? Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Some people may not feel that way. Some may say, well, what do you mean vivid visualization? You want to start interrupting your thought processes, like when you're driving in a car. You can even put down a 3x5 card and tack it on the dashboard. So you're driving along, you glance over there, and it says interrupt. So you interrupt and say, ooh, what was I just thinking about? What was I just thinking about? And you go, gosh, I was just thinking about the dinner I had last night and the people I was with and describe what you were experiencing. And people can describe in great detail. Oh, I was just thinking about the house I'd like to own. Well, describe the house. They can describe it in great detail, and they never saw themselves as vivid visualizers. It's not like we're seeing pictures. We're actually in our mind somewhere else. Our body's right here, but we are somewhere else in our mind. We're having a conversation with someone. We're having a fight with someone. We might be angry, might be happy, we might be elated, the emotions we're feeling from the experience, but we're somewhere else in our mind. Key consideration is where. Where are we? And what is our motivation for being there? One of the great risks was this measurement. That when people are in a profession where they do a lot of dream boarding, they start writing out, what is your why? What do you want? What do you want to get out of this? They actually ask a question that's not appropriate. Because we don't do this to get there. Creators actually enjoy what they're doing. It's the journey they enjoy. It's the creation of and creating more and creating more. They're not doing this so they can buy that, so they can retire and go do something else. It's a journey. But we can get caught up in this, what is your why? What do you want? And we start making dream boards with big houses or cars or our debts paid off or so much income per month. We go to magazines. We start clipping out pictures. And I'm not anti-dream board, by the way. I'm anti-fantasy. Because when we start getting all that together, the great risk is we go into that space and we start to imagine what it's like to have it. That amount of money might be like $100,000 a month, for example, or $5,000 a month, whatever it is. And we start to imagine what we could buy with it. And then we start to live those experiences, little scenarios about what it would be like to wake up in the morning and not have any debts and have our house paid for and be able to do whatever we want to that day and the freedom of choice. And we can start feeling ourselves go into that place. And it can be very deadly if we're not careful. Because vivid visualization is a key component of actually creating. But it's also a key component of destruction. So, where are we going? Get that little sign up. Put it there by your nightstand or maybe on your mirror. In your bathroom, any place where you could just see and go, ooh, what am I thinking? And ask yourself, what am I thinking about? And what is my motivation for being there? You want to start to identify, Betty, am I thinking about that because I want my life to be different and this is something I'm working toward? Or is this a place I'd like to arrive at? What is my motivation for having this thought process? This thought process can both go into possibilities in the future. It can also go into worst-case scenarios. And if we have any worry warts on the phone, we start worrying about something, and it can just absolutely exhaust us worrying about things. But this would be the thought process. If it's yellow, or orange or red, and you decide to worry about something, you could play out endless worst-case scenarios that could take you to the depths of hell in 10 minutes, just suck you right down in there because it's so vivid. So what happens is it's so vivid to the mind, the body reacts as if it's real. It's a new reality. Then that's the next place we start. We take it to the worst case, worse than that. And then we take that to the worst case. Then we take that to the worst case. And we can really destroy ourselves before soon, too long. And these are mental movies, negative or positive. Mental movies that are very real, and the body is reacting to them. This is a powerful measurement. I've spent a lot of time with all of you talking about going into the future and then living out scenarios and norepinephrine coursing through your body, and then reality shows up and the autonomic response hits. And I mean, it's norepinephrine, not cortisol. Norepinephrine's coursing through your body. Then reality hits, and you have that response in cortisol, and you get that nervousness, and that anxiousness, and then you kind of get a foggy head because it's really shutting down your prefrontal cortex, your empathy, practical judgment, to centralize all your energy in the fight-or-flight center and the amygdala. Your memory center gets impacted, and you have short-term memory losses. You can feel emotionally paralyzed in those moments. That's one of the most common things that happens with this thought process. Tonight, we're not going to spend a lot of time on trying to understand fantasy and what norepinephrine means and cortisol, etc. Just ask yourself the simple question, where am I when you're interrupting your thought? And what's my motivation? Am I driven by a desire to want life to be easier? Would I like to arrive at a destination where all my problems are solved? Because this thought process is built for one specific purpose. And it's to get inspired ideas. It's to seek for guidance. That's what it's built for. It's given to you to be able to go into your mind, on the stage of your mind, pose a question and get an answer. Inspired idea. You might see yourself doing this or see yourself doing that. Wow, it lights up part of your brain. It's normally dormant in a human being. It ignites passion. It drives our action. But at the core of this, that's why it's so important, where am I in my mind and what is my motivation? Because the motivation that makes this thought process work, that helps create that vivid visualization that will deliver an inspired idea, is at the intention. What is our secret desire and real intention? Our secret desire. And the only secret desire that ignites passion, the secret desire, is a burning desire to serve. It's getting outside of our own needs. What I want, you can start to see what some dream boards can do for us if we don't handle them properly. It's all about what we want to get versus who we want to become. If we want to engage in life, what does that look like? Put that on your dream board. If we want to embrace obstacles when they come, put that on your dream board because you're going to face them. Want to connect and serve with people, what is that going to look like? Want to create value everywhere you go. If on a dream board someone says, I want to build one Habitat for Humanity house per year, or I want to do, that would be a really powerful thing to have on a dream board. I want to contribute to the world. That doesn't mean we don't have nice things, but we have them for different reasons. The last 2 days, we've had guests staying at our house. Some friends were here to do business, but they're in town, and it was fun to have them here. Did a barbecue Sunday night with them, and last night we went and had sushi, and just it was great to connect and spend that time, sit out on the back deck and talk till midnight each night. And it's just wonderful to have people here at our home. We didn't buy this home for Ramona and I to ramble around in it. We bought this to have our friends here, to have our grandkids here, to have a wonderful place to share. If you have those kinds of things on your dream board, like a house, make sure that the intention for having it has something to do with engaging in life and embracing principles, connecting, serving, creating value, and contributing. Do we just want it for a status symbol? Do we just want it so that we can live in the neighborhood and feel good about ourselves? Is it all about our self-esteem? That's a really bad reason to buy a house, or a car, or clothing, or jewelry. We want to be able to do those things because we love excellence. We love craftsmanship. We want to create a place that's peaceful, that people can come into and they can feel it. They can feel the peace. It's discernible. So take a look at that dream board. What am I thinking about? And what is my motivation for it? Because if it's all about ease or getting, having, satisfying my ego, it will never ignite passion. It's in violation of the principles of creation. It's in violation. If we're congruent with the principles of creation, we're asking, what can I create? How can I create that? How will that serve someone? How can I make this world a better place by doing that? Those questions get answered in the form of inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to challenges, and that's what ignites our passion. Gets us excited. Now, greed can get us temporarily excited, but it won't sustain us. This is a deep sense of passion that sustains the effort required to do whatever is required to create in tangible reality that which we've seen in our mind. So back to this simple formula for tonight. Interrupt. Put that card up everywhere and just interrupt yourself. What am I thinking? Am I playing out some scenario of anger about somebody, or somebody offended me and I can't let it go? Or am I fantasizing? Am I catastrophizing? Or is my thought consciously disciplined on engaging, embracing, connecting, serving, creating value, contributing? What can I create? How can I create that? How will that serve? I believe this thought process, balanced even up to red, because red puts you in great danger. You're at a higher risk of fantasy. You're at a higher risk of catastrophe. At the same time, Betty, if you use that thought process the way I just described it, and you mentally rehearsed, we've talked about that, you sought inspiration, you explored possibilities, you problem-solved, you goal-set by getting a clear vision and working toward it, if you do that, a red goal-oriented will serve you at an extremely high level. But you'll have to be hyper-vigilant all the time, because it can drift over into catastrophe or fantasy, boom, just in a heartbeat. It's just like a giant fire hose. You want to keep it pointed in the right direction, because if it goes in the wrong direction, it's just going to blow your life apart. Does that make any sense for your red goal-oriented, Betty?
Yes, it does. It does, and I will tell you that I do guard that, and I do, because of my past. I can't allow, I don't allow myself to go back to the period of time, and so this all does make sense. But yes, I do guard it.
Wonderful. Have you had some experiences recently, without going into detail or anything confidential, where you consciously mentally rehearsed something or consciously sought inspiration and got an idea that lit up your passion? Have you had that experience recently?
You know, I have. Things are coming. Things have been coming my way here pretty effortlessly of late, and I thought, my goodness, where is this all coming from? But I do know that it's just simply because of putting in the time, building those relationships, it's putting in the effort. It's learning to serve. and it's meeting people with a different intent than maybe what I might have to look at people, and it's rewarding now, very rewarding.
You use such a powerful word. You know, last week we talked about empathy and intuition, connecting with people, intrinsic value, validation, stepping into someone's world. The foundation of doing that comes in this thought process. Because if you're saying, I'm checking my intention is to serve, that means when I actually go out to do it, I show up differently. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Can you feel that? Yeah, so we show up differently. That makes it so much easier to intrinsically validate and live the principles and all those things we teach about connection, because our intention is already in the right place, because you're guarding this, you're being hypervigilant. Congratulations. Because this will help you, if that intention, you guard that intention, and you're vividly visualizing. I just want you to know, and I think you do, I'll confirm maybe, that you can be given inspired ideas of such magnitude that it'll be almost scary to be a participant.
Mm-hmm.
You can be told things about people's lives in that space of seeking guidance that can speed up the entire process. You'll ask a question of someone, it's like, how did you know that? I didn't, but my intention is to serve, and so I've been asking this morning how I could serve you, and I've been pondering possibilities, and that's what came up for me. What does that mean to you? Well, it means everything to me. That's, nobody knows this, but you plan to have those experiences. They'll take that courageous listening to the inspired ideas and acting on them, and you're going to want to act on more and more of them, because eventually you'll live in this space, Betty. You'll live in the space of a pure intention, an inspired idea, and an action. And it will be
well,
incredible.
You know, last week a man was placed on my path, and we got to talking, and it was so natural to, the conversation was so easy and so natural, and he began telling me, I've had an update done in my home here, and I'm really enjoying the new look here. And it was a gentleman that was doing some work here. And the next day when he came, and he confided in me, he said, you know, he said just 2 weeks ago, he said, I was realizing that in my life I was looking for something that has to change. He said, I didn't know, you know, he said, I was thinking, what's that all about? And then he and I had had the conversation we had just the day before, and it was a very easy conversation to have. And I just made a comment that we have to have a restlessness to be receptive for something new coming our way. Otherwise, we're not going to be receptive for it.
Yeah.
Have that need.
It's a fun way to live,
so
isn't it?
It's been pretty powerful seeing what has happened.
Mm. Fun way to live, right?
Mm-hmm, it is.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, all that pressure we're putting on trying to build your business, when you show up this way, it starts building. It doesn't build itself. It just builds differently with better people and a more solid foundation.
Absolutely, absolutely. And in your book, when you describe that icky feeling that we get, mm-hmm. and boy, do I ever know what that icky feeling is. But whenever you show up, and you're not there, they don't have a target on them. You just show up willing to serve and let the conversation unfold. It's pretty remarkable what will happen.
Pretty best. It's a pretty well-kept secret, isn't it? Nog says the greatest secret of success in all ventures. And for all of us listening tonight, this measurement, goal-oriented, we're thinking about thinking how we'd like our life to be and our hopes and our dreams. Let's go and check that. What am I thinking about? Interrupt it and ask why I'm here. What's my motivation? What's my, and you used a better word than motivation, intention. What's my intention? Because if we can get our intention piece correct with this thought process, everything works better. We show up in creation. We love our life more. We show up serving people more effectively. Everything starts to work. So let's check this particular thought process. This is such an important one. Thank you, Betty. Your comments tonight are just warming my heart.
Right.
We've got three more measurements I want to cover with you. Aren't as important as the first three. These are things that can get in our way. And coachable is orange quite often with entrepreneurial people because we get stuck in a certain pattern of thinking. It's not that we can't be coachable. We can be. We can step back from any thought process. And coachable, we can. We can step back from and make a different choice. This thought process is just reluctant to shift because it's like wearing an old, comfortable shoe. If it's been in fantasy, it's really hard to let go of fantasy because it likes the fantasy. It likes the norepinephrine rush. It's comfortable with that. So it's just measuring, are we open to a new way of thinking that might add value to our life? And if the measurement's orange or red, all it means is you're going to get a little extra pushback when you make that choice to change. And that's okay. If you keep making the choice to change, the choice to change, and you're using your mind constructively, you've got that intention to serve, and you're getting inspired ideas, and you use the phrase, if there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path, and I'll serve them. Betty, you mentioned that. We keep doing that. We will create a new habit of thinking, and we can fight through this one. Pragmatic. I wrote in the book, The Observer's Chair, that we're seeing this more often just because people are so emotionally fatigued. I had an assessment debrief this afternoon with a vice president of a wonderful company, and his measurement was orange. An individual who had made millions of dollars in the sale of a previous company and made some poor choices and lost the money. And now they're rebuilding, and he's a part of the rebuild, and it's very exciting because there'll be a day when his company will be back, and he's got great confidence that it will be. But until then, here he is sitting in the now, in his current circumstances, looking up at where he used to be, and for many it's where we would like to be. He's been there before. He knows what it's safe like, where we'd like to be, or for him, we used to be. And we're looking at everything that needs to be done to get there. And what's unique about these systemic thought processes is they do not deal in what we call linear time. We live in linear time. I just look at my watch, and I'm watching the second hand sweeping by. You know, tick, 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 tick. That's linear time. We can't be at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon until 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, no matter how bad we want to be there. We can go there in our mind, but physically, in tangible reality, we cannot. And in our mind, we're looking at we'd like to be there, looking at everything that needs to be done, and the risk is we can get overwhelmed because it's ever-present. I've got to make 5,643 phone calls, recruit 9,422 people, sell $500 million worth of product. I mean, to be hyperbole. But we're seeing everything that needs to be done over the next several weeks, months, years to get us to a goal. And we could just be absolutely overwhelmed because it's the whole thing is present. We can sit here on Tuesday night and be exhausted. When we consider what needs to be done on Friday, we're already experiencing the pain, the frustration, the energy, the commitment that's going to be required to show up and do that. And so we're sitting here exhausted, and Friday isn't even here. So just take a look at pragmatic and see if this is a source of some of your anxiety and angst. and become, we use the word pragmatic. We're actually going to change this word in the athletic one to the word resilient. Resilient means to leap back up. We get knocked down, we leap up. Pragmatic is also powerful. It may not be as well understood. I'm practical. I can see that these are the steps that need to be taken, and all I need to focus on today is the next step. But this thought process wants us to look at the next one, 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 be overwhelmed. Ugh. Everything that needs to be done to get there. Ouch. So let's get focused back on doing what we can do today. Let us be resilient. Back up. Because we don't need to be there today. All we need to do today or want to do today is the next step. Let's create that. Next day we'll create the next one. Next day we'll create the next one. We'll start enjoying this process and the journey instead of being frustrated that we're not where we'd like to be. And the last measurement is resolute. I like that word, but I'm changing this word in the athletic one to the word committed. Committed. We're committed to a direction in our life. This can be with a relationship. This can be with a career path. This can be with a business. I'm committed. Because when this one starts to turn orange, we start to lose that commitment. You know, can I really put the time in here? My age, can I afford to make another mistake? And instead of making decisions, believing, remember, all or nothing, right or wrong, win or lose, if I start working in that career, then I'm stuck there for the next 30 years. I remember a person once said that to me. I don't want to be a school teacher for the next 30 years. I go, well, you only need to be a school teacher for another day or till the end of this day. You could quit tomorrow. Signing that contract for a year obligates you to a year, not to 30 years. Just that thought process is all or nothing, right or wrong, win or lose. And we notice that when we make a decision and we get into action, that's when inspiration often comes to us. Og talks about this in scroll number 9 when he talks about the firefly. It's a great thing for us to understand. He's trying to share with us that if we're waiting for the inspiration before we jump in, we might wait a long time. I actually wrote a chapter in the book called Jump First, Peace Second. It's great advice. Here he talks about the firefly. Remember the lesson of the firefly who gives off its light only when it's on the wing, only when it's in action. Gives off its light, its inspiration. It's a metaphor. I will become a firefly, and even in the day my glow will be seen in spite of the sun. Let this be as butterflies who preen their wings and yet depend on the charity of a flower for life. It's like we want to be given before we do. We want to know before we begin. We want to understand before we jump in. I'll be as a firefly, and my light will brighten the world. Just know that this resolute, if you've got any challenges, just pick a direction and go. And it doesn't really matter as much as we might think that it'll matter. We jump and we begin to do, and that leads us to new opportunity, new ideas. Inspiration can start coming to us because we are finally in action. And action requires a commitment. That's resolute. Well, these are such important measurements. Betty, thank you tonight for participating and sharing your discoveries and what's happening in your life as it relates to these measurements. I've shared with you just some simple little things you can do. The I want to, I get to, I choose to statement. The little thing you can do in terms of excellence and better done than perfect, so we just jump in to do. And goal-oriented, let's stop and interrupt. What am I thinking about? Where am I? What's my motivation? What's my intention? And have that pure intention to serve people, to actually engage in life. Let us wear ourselves out in doing good. Now, that doesn't mean we don't rest and go on vacations. Let's just not plan on a time when we don't have to do anything. What a boring way to live. Let us be creators, intentional creators of our lives. Coachable? Let's step back from this thought process. Say, well, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. if I'm not getting what I want, it might behoove me to actually make some of these changes. Pragmatic, remember, all we want to do is the next step. Become conscious of not being overwhelmed and crushed by everything that needs to be done in the weeks ahead. You'll get to those things. And frankly, the more time you spend creating the day, the faster this whole process gets sped up anyway. And resolute, let's make a commitment. Let's go into action. Let us be a firefly. If we could do that for the week, it would be so fun to come back next Tuesday. We're gonna go into physical creation, bringing this attitude into the creation of our lives and our dreams. What does it feel like to be in passion-driven action? How can we get there sooner, stay there longer? And I'll share with you some more ideas in that vein. Any other questions or thoughts before we wrap up our session tonight?
Dave, thank you so much. You're a great teacher. I appreciate you.
Oh, you okay if I say I love you? Thank you so much for sharing tonight. I just really have had my heart warmed, and I hope others have been inspired by your thoughts. Well, have a great week, everybody. Take this on. Have a wonderful Labor Day next Monday if you're in the United States, and we'll be back next Tuesday evening for a celebration of life. Oh, people are going to say, what scroll? I want you on scroll number 6. Scroll number 6. I'll be the master of my emotions. This is where Og says, weak is he who allows his thoughts, there's any measurements here out of balance, who allows his thoughts to control his actions. Strong is he who forces his actions to control his thoughts. So let us take the actions necessary. Let's do the 3x5 cards. Let's do a couple of these things and have some fun this week, taking on what I consider to be the absolute foundational thought processes for your personal life, the joy that you'll find, the peace that you'll find, the esteem that you'll find. Have a great week, and we'll be back with you. Come off of mute and just say good night, everyone.
Very good. Good night. Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Dave.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Dave.